hurry up and wait, or maybe get ready and hold steady. There's some notes if you're a note taker, great. If you're not, just track mentally. But it's this idea of actively doing the Lord's work, and we are talking about his return this morning. Anybody excited for that? Anybody want that? Anybody like, Lord Jesus, maybe selfishly, I need a new body already. This model, you know, we need to trade in. But just wanting to be with the Lord. I mean, we realize everything's going to be perfect then, right? When we see face to face, it's like, oh God, man, there were so many difficulties, like getting put on the Dodgers. Why, Lord? Why? Life was difficult. It is. But Lord, when you come and we see you face to face, everything will be put right. Is that encouraging? Yeah. Okay, good. By the way, this little section that I'm going to talk about was one of the first messages I ever preached in my life. And I was so nervous. This pastor's like, Jeremy, just calm down, man. Let the Lord speak through you. And I think I was done in like 10 minutes. That is not going to be the case today, so don't get excited. But end times, and specifically as we talk about this, and again, the passage that I was going to just kind of talk about, and God led me to the other, like three different stories or four different stories within this section. It's not just the end times and the coming of Christ, but it's really the process of waiting for Christ to return. And how are we? I mean, the line to Starbucks, we're waiting, right? And maybe like, it's not going fast enough, or the line to the DMV. Lord, help us with that one, right? You know, maybe waiting in line for a ride at Disneyland. You know, waiting for a new grandchild, a child, nephew, niece to be born. I mean, there's different kinds of waiting, isn't there? And so this morning, there's a couple different stories that I want to talk about that will deal with the different types of waiting for the return of Christ. And, you know, I thought about a farmer 100 years ago. No irrigation system, right? No automatic sprinkler timers. What did they have to wait upon? Rain, and really, the Lord, right? Lord, please. Like, it's this anticipation. Like, we're praying like we've never prayed before because we need to eat. Like, this is the paycheck and the grocery bill right here. And then that whole process, what did it do for them? What do you think? Did it cause this great trust now in a God who would provide? I mean, was their faith increased as they waited? I mean, probably through some horrible times of drought and you know, whatever else attacks plants, right? The little bugs and all that kind of stuff. So trust in the Lord. He is coming back. He will return. And he's not coming the same way. I mean, maybe that's encouraging to you this morning because he came as the gentle lamb, right? The sheep. Humble. Well, I mean, give me some of Jesus. Who was Jesus? Servant. Any other words come to your mind? Healer. I mean, he definitely did miracles. And I mean, but when he comes the second time, what's he coming like? A lion. Like, we're not messing around now. This is, when I say it's time. And now I'm coming with the lion face on, which... I don't know if you've seen a lion. Anybody seen a lion? I know there's a guy in the back there that's seen a lion face to face, and you guys could talk to our friends, Siafa and Susan later. But God's coming back. The late Billy Graham believed this. He passed away this couple weeks ago, and there was his funeral this week. If you have caught anything, hopefully you were encouraged by his life in Christ always. But Greg Laurie interviewed him at Harvest, and he said, Billy, what would the older, wiser, mature Billy say to the younger guy? You know, what advice would you give yourself? And he said this, I would preach the blood of Jesus, the cross, and that he is coming back more. I'm thinking, Billy, you've done that. Like, more? I mean, how much more? Like, wow, what influence for Christ. I think I even watched a 1960s revival. And man, just a bold preacher for the gospel. And he was saying, God's return is coming any minute. 1960, right? I mean, but that anticipation, because guess what? That's what the disciples believed as well, didn't they? Like, hey, it's any minute. Jesus left. He ascended. He's coming back now, anytime. And I think sometimes as Christians, let's be honest, we're like, oh, yeah, he's coming back. It'll happen. Hopefully not now, because I haven't, you know, my teenagers would say I haven't met the woman of my dreams or the man of my dreams or gotten my dream job or, you know, I mean, don't we struggle with that too? It's not just the teens. That's us. And we're like, Lord, come quickly. Not yet. So as Pastor Phil gets to do, and I love this, we're not going to read the whole section, but just the section I'd like to focus on today. If you can stand, would you stand for the reading of God's word? Matthew 25. And I'm going to start with the end, but we're going to be finishing here. So here's what Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46 say, and I'm reading out of the NIV today. And it says this: when the Son of Man comes in his glory with all the angels with him, think about that. That's amazing. Not just one angel, which everybody was fearful of when one angel came, they fell to their knees, but all of his angels. That is amazing and powerful. He will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all of the nations, not just the United States, all of the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, where my right-hander's at. Stage right. It's these guys. Just kidding. And the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who have been blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the what? The least of these, my brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you did nothing you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger needing clothes, or sick or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Then he will go away to eternal, or they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to, and let's say it, eternal life. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Again, I have a couple, just fill in the blanks, follow along if you'd like to. I think pencils are in front of you. I love this image of waiting, and just kind of titled this morning, Hurry Up and Wait, but waiting upon the Lord. Do you see yourself doing that? I mean, do you see as you serve people, maybe you're serving the children, maybe as an adult, maybe greeter, maybe your family, however you're serving, do you see the person in front of you as Jesus? You know, not with the beard and whatever image you think of, with, you know, as you think of Jesus, but do you think of them as, yeah, I'm doing this unto the Lord? If so, that's a great thing. And if not, guess what? It's not like you're off the team here, because even the righteous were like, when did we do that for you, Lord? Almost feeling guilty, right? Did you hear it? Like, what? When did we do that? So our first kind of point for this morning, wait on the Lord Jesus. Remember, like Vernie would encourage us with that big towel, ready to serve the Lord. So waiting on the Lord Jesus as those who don't want to be surprised by his return. Anybody like surprises? I mean, the good kind. Hey, birthdays, nobody in here? A couple of people? Okay, take note. Surprises. Lisa, my wife, does not like the not good surprises, like the coming behind you when you're sitting on the couch or around the corner, you know, not even like scaring, but hi, how's it going? She's like, no, don't ever do that. I learned that early in our dating life. Ended up like with, we needed counseling, so. So let me read for you. There's a couple passages, and again, we don't have time to get into everything in the passage, but just let me give you a brief overview because it leads us up to what we just read. Chapter 24 in Matthew, verses 36 through 39 says this: "No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, does that blow you away, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving to marriage, up until the day Noah entered the ark. And then what happened? They knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be in the coming of the Son of Man." What was going on there? What was happening? Life, right? As they were living life, I mean, eating, drinking, they're sharing meals together. I mean, they're even getting married. All this stuff is going on. They're having a great time. Life is going on as normal. But then that day came, right? What was that day? God said, that's it. Like, his word mattered, right? Who's been here for Genesis? He spoke it and it happened, right? I mean, it came into existence because he is the authority. He said so. Can't argue, right? The Monopoly guys, Parker Brothers, they made the game. You don't, you pass go, you get the $200. You don't, right? Same thing with God. He spoke the word. The flood's coming, shut the door, and what happened to the people that didn't get in the boat? They drowned. Let's pick it up in verse 40. "Two men will be in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the handmill. One will be taken and one will be left." Pause there. Any ladies have a handmill in their kitchen? A little grinder? No, okay. But even for the two gentlemen in the field, it probably was a close relationship. I mean, maybe a worker and the owner, but probably a father and son or somebody close. And it says what? They were working, and one will be taken and one left. And same for the lady relationship here. Again, probably a mother-daughter or sister's close relationship. They're grinding it out, right? They're making the food, the meal's coming. One will be taken, the other left. Let's continue, verse 42. "Therefore," here's our warning or encouragement, "keep watch because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into." Amen. "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour which you do not expect him." We talked about this Wednesday night. I shared just this a little portion with our teenagers. And so proud of our teenagers. One came up. You know, it's this whole thing that Pastor Phil is talking about, how the congregation encourages the pastor. Hopefully there's some encouragement coming back to you from this side. But one of the teenagers said, "Jeremy, I get it. You know, if we wait till the last minute, like the thief, you know, is coming in, but if we would have known about it, you know, I mean, we would lock the door. You know, we'd grab our guns, right? I mean, dogs are out, like nobody's getting into this fortress." I'm like, "Yeah, that's right." And she's like, no, so because we know that, he is coming like a thief. And so if we know that now, we should get ready. Like, yeah, yes, get up here. You're preaching. All right. I love it. Right? I mean, if we would have known the thief was coming. And again, I think her point is, I mean, God's point, not to wait. Like, we know what's going to happen. I mean, has anybody ever had their car broken into or, you know, something stolen? Man, I should have locked that up, right? Is our first thought. I should have done this. Or you start second guessing, and then from then on out, you know, for the next month, you're like, okay, I'm locking my doors now. But we know it is the point. It is going to happen. Again, don't be surprised is the point there. I brought a little excerpt from Dr. James Dobson. Really liked this week as I was doing some study, and he says this about being surprised. "I know of an OB doctor who not only was deaf, but was blind. How comforting. He telephoned a friend of mine who is also a physician in the same practice. He asked for a favor. My wife has been having some abdominal pains, and she's in discomfort this afternoon. Would you mind treating her? He said, you know, that's fine. Since you don't want to treat your own wife, my friend, the doctor, brought her over to be examined. And what did he discover but that she, are you ready for this? She was 5 months pregnant. And her OB husband was a little too busy caring for other patients. He hadn't even noticed his wife being pregnant. You know, the other question we're thinking is, when did you have time to conceive if you were so busy? But surprised. Have you been surprised? Jesus is saying, don't be surprised by my coming back. Be ready. Again, that verse, Matthew 24:44. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Number two, waiting on the Lord as stewards who must give an account. As stewards who must give an account. By the way, in each story that we're going to read, we'll grab a truth, but then that same truth might be echoed in the next story, and then plus one. So there's going to be something else for us to grab a hold of, hopefully in the next story. So this next story, Matthew 24:45, says this. Who then is faithful and wise, a wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? Right, a caregiver, somebody to take charge and watch over. It'll be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of what? All of his possessions. Wow, that's awesome. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of the servant will come on that day when, again, he does not expect him, and an hour he is not aware of, and he will cut him into pieces and assign him to the place with hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Surprise, I'm home. How are you at working when your boss is gone? I thought about not showing up this morning. But then again, Pastor Phil isn't my boss, my wife is. So no, Pastor Phil is definitely. How is that though? And hopefully this doesn't make you fearful and afraid. Again, some of the students Wednesday night, we were talking about, you know, this is a heavy subject, right? I mean, Christ is returning. Jeremy, we got to get ready. I'm panicking. No, that's not to panic. You're here. You're hearing the message, right? So take a breath and get ready. As I tell our youngsters as they're playing baseball, step in the box and hit the ball, right? Just relax. Hopefully it doesn't bring fear, though. But hopefully maybe there is this warning. Adam, one of our volunteer leaders, he interjected in that when one of the students said, you know, I'm a little fearful. He said, no. It's really like a hot stove. You're telling somebody ahead of time, don't touch it. It's not like you're getting on the gorilla suit and running out of the, you know, behind the corner and scaring somebody, but it is saying, hey, I love you enough to tell you, right? Here's what's happening, and the Lord is coming back. I do have another story. Buster, before he passed, he gave us some books, and there's this huge library. If anybody ever wants to come and look at some books, come see me. And I was just kind of thumbing through this book on leadership by Charles Swindoll, and really, really cool. He talks about this guy named Howard Rutledge. Howard was an American Air Force pilot, and Rutledge was shot down over North Vietnam during the early part of the war for several miserable years, note to that, before being released at the war's conclusion. Howard Rutledge endured mistreatment at the hands of brutal captors. Following his release, he reflected upon those years when his life was reduced to a torturous silence and intolerable loneliness. Here's what he says. During those longer periods of enforced reflection, now that I have to, it became so much easier to separate the important from the trivial. True? In those moments? The worthwhile from the waste. For example, in the past, I usually worked or played on Sundays. I had no time for church, even though my wife Phyllis encouraged me to join up with the family. She never nagged, never scolded, just encouraged. She just kept hoping that someday I would, but I was too busy, too preoccupied to spend one or two short hours in the week thinking these things are really important. Now the sights and sounds and smells of death are all around me. My hunger for spiritual food soon outdid my hunger for steak. Now I wanted to know the part of me that would never die, the eternal life. I wanted to talk about God, Christ, and his church, but in Heartbreak, which is the name of the POW's prison camp, solitary confinement, there was no pastor, no teacher, no Bible, no hymn book, no community of believers to guide me and sustain me. I had completely neglected the spiritual dimension of my life. It took prison to show me how empty life is without God. Can anybody relate to that? And maybe not on that same level, obviously, but in those difficult times that, man, I wish I would have memorized that one verse. What was it? What was it? No Bibles in hand. There's no teacher or leader to help guide you. No Bruce up here playing the music. What was that song again? Like Grace Like Rain, something like, I need that, right? I need that. Matthew 24:50 says, the master of that servant will come on a day he does not expect him and an hour he does not know. Number three, waiting on the Lord Jesus as his coming may be delayed. In our culture, we sing when the bride comes, here comes the bride, right? We say that. Maybe we don't sing it. Rosie might sing it. She has a great voice. It was good sitting next to her. But in the culture of this day and age, they would say, here comes the bridegroom or the groom. In their culture, the wedding would take place. And again, usually, the groom would pay a dowry, right? And he would offer this to the parents and say, oh, my future bride is so worth it. Right, husbands? So worth this great price that I remember that. You paid a great price to marry this bride. And they would have this celebration at her house. It would take a little while. And then once they finished, they would go to his house. And if he was wealthy, it might last for a little while. I know we were like, please finish up quickly. You know, let's get to going home. We're done, right? But it might last a day or two or even a week or longer. So let me pick up this story in Matthew 25. And this is a parable of the bridesmaids. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins or bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with them and their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, so he was delayed. They were delayed. And they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out and meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, or some translations, Lord, Lord, they said, open up the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. The Bible says there were some wise and some foolish. What happened to the foolish? When the door was shut, they missed, didn't they? But the wise, they came in. I mean, they were ready. There's a young man who, I'm going to say still in our college group. His name is Thomas. Although he has gone to join the Army, Pastor Vernie would be super excited about that. Actually, I got to talk to him this week and shared that with him. He was pumped. Thomas came and this is a couple months ago, first kind of meeting, he says, "Hey, my name's Thomas. I was brought by Tyler in the college group. I'm an atheist." I'm like, great. Welcome to church, man. So glad. As he began to kind of, come into this place and realize this isn't a religion, it's about a relationship with a risen Savior. I mean, he just started to get some things, right? Have you been there? And we were at Thanksgiving and we did this prayer time. I just had the students kind of shout out Thanksgiving to the Lord. And so, God, you're awesome because I have a dog, my parents are great, whatever it was, family. And they got serious with their prayers. Thomas says something. Afterwards, I said, "Thomas, that was prayer time." "I know." "Like, well, we pray to God. And you said you're an atheist. So what's going on?" He's like, "I don't know." "I don't know. But God's doing something." And Doug and Kathy are helping lead our college group, and Don and Candace are as well. Where are you guys? Over there somewhere. And it was really a great moment just to see Thomas processing some of this stuff. And he said one day, I was forced to go to Catholic, church, mass. And my dad left when I was really young, and I was really bitter. But the kicker, he was wearing all black one day, dark sunglasses, tough guy. And he said, "But here's the thing, I really don't know if God could forgive me. I've done a lot." I'm like, "Well, what have you done? Let's look at the Ten Commandments, He's like, "All those." I'm like, "Not murder, please, not that one." But he said, "Not that one." Even though we did talk about that, and hey, if you've said in your heart, "I hate you," that's like the same thing. So in that moment, just God can forgive you, and he's bigger. God is bigger than your biggest sin. Amen? He can forgive you, and that's the God we serve. He's like, "All right, I want him." And then underneath those big dark glasses, just streams of tears. And he prayed probably one of the most honest, "Lord, I love you, forgive me, come into my life, take control," prayers I've ever heard. I'm holding a letter, so he went to the army, of course, right when God's like grabbing a hold of him. By the way, I text him a scripture verse. I'm like, "Start in John, read John 1. And he's like, "Okay, I did." I'm like, "All right, go grab John 2. He's like, "No, I finished the whole book of John. What's next?" I'm like, "Man, I love you. That's awesome." Thomas wrote to us this week. He's only been in boot camp for like a week. Everybody said, "There's no way he's going to write to you," right? Any military guys? Like, there's no time. I mean, he doesn't answer his phone. He can't call. He says this, "I made it to Oklahoma, to Fort Sill. There is snow." Big difference from California. "I hope that all of you are still going to church and worshiping our Lord." By the way, it says, "Dear youth group and worship team." "And still keeping him in your hearts. I'm happy to say that I met a fellow Christian while here. I'm glad to say that I've met, and we joke around, and it's a good time to have a Christian friend here. It's hard, not because of the snow, because I love the cold, but because of all of the waiting. We have not gotten our clothes yet, and there's so much waiting. But would you read Psalms 13? It helps with being patient. If you could, also read Psalms 91 to the youth group for me, because I'd appreciate it. I miss hearing the music played by all of you, and I hope you keep me in your prayers as I do for all of you. And feel free to write me. I'd like that, Thomas." Amen, huh? We will write you, Thomas. Let me read for you Psalms 13. What does it say? "Let this minister to you this morning. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And every day I have sorrow in my heart. How long?" This is David writing. "Will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." Amen. Wow. That's a generation you guys are raising up. Great job, church. Matthew 25:10 says, "And while they were going to buy the oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, they went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Number four, wait on the Lord Jesus as slaves commissioned to improve their master's assets. Let me read 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to the other, 2 talents, and to the one, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents and gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, share your master's happiness or inheritance. The master with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. The master said, or replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Are you looking to better your Father's kingdom? Are you looking to better what God has given you? If the master has entrusted you with assets, how are you doing with those? What do those look like? Our children? Our grandchildren? Someday. Right? The things that we have, I think it's so easy, guilty, saying it's mine. And thank you, Lord. And God's saying, you're just to manage it. How are we doing with that? Gifts, talents, and abilities were given in this moment, right? The talents were given. If they're not used, you lose them. God believes in us because he's entrusted us with his greatest possessions, right? Number 5, wait upon the Lord Jesus as people whose lives are so transformed by the gospel that they naturally serve one another. And this brings us to our main point. And I did miss this slide. Rosie gave us a slide. I love it. It's a picture of sheep and goats. I feed the hungry, whatever. I love that. Thank you, Rosie. So that brings us to this point. Have you seen a transformed life? I mean, hopefully you are one. But have you seen somebody like a Thomas who has been, like, recently, the lights go on, they know who Jesus is, what he did for them on the cross, died, rose again, and is trusting in him? I got to go and speak at a Set Free Men's Ministry ranch, a camp where, you know, men who are going through difficulties and have been addicted to some things go and they're away from everything, right? Life is not the same in this location. This is in Phelan, and it's in the middle of nowhere, and it was great to go and see these guys who got it, became clean and sober, but then they also became clean and sober in Jesus. There's some great Bible studies. I mean, these guys know the Bible way better than I do. And if you'd ask them, some of them, you know, they want to leave and come back and get to be a part of society again and work out their salvation. And then others, they choose to stay at this ranch in the middle of nowhere, not the greatest facility. By the way, this is the place where we donated the showers that was given to us. And they're like, yes, warm water. Before it was just a hose in a desert. Maybe that's cool in the summertime, but in the wintertime, that's a nice cold shower. So we are a blessing to them. I just wanted to pass that on. But some of these guys want to stay there. Why? Why would they want to stay where it's not the greatest conditions? They're serving. They've been transformed. And they know that their brothers who are coming into this place, what do they need? They need to see a life transformed. And they need to be cleaned up, right? Their feet need to be washed, which some are some nasty feet over there, I'm just saying. And these brothers get on their hands and knees and they wipe them down. Humbling. So I was asked to speak and I shared, but honestly, there's about two or three other guys that were from the ranch. I'm like, man, you speak. I want to hear your story. I want to hear what God's doing in your life right now. How is he transforming the world because of you? How is he transforming the world because of us? We're going to close with a little video from Billy Graham. His funeral was this week. I don't know if you got to catch much of it. But just an amazing servant of the Lord. Such a humble man. Just to hear the testimonies of his kids saying the same Billy that was up in the pulpit, the same Billy at home, probably just a couple octaves lower. But gentle and humble, life transformed. Check this out. Our last parable talked about the sheep and the goats, and did you notice that both of them had no idea that they were serving or not serving Jesus? He's coming back. Is it amen?
Amen?
Not yet, Lord. Still got some things to do. He's coming back, and it's just a great thing to know. Again, the sheep, They didn't know. It was a part of their DNA. They just were so transformed. They served one another. They did what was expected and even beyond, right? Here, take the shirt off my back. Oh, you're sick? Let me get you some soup. How are we serving? Have you trusted in Jesus? He's the one that brings salvation. And then how are we waiting for his return? Let me bless you in prayer. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for this morning. God, I pray that you awakened some hearts this morning. God, you moved in us radically, God, as we anticipate your return. God, come soon, come quickly. And Lord, help us to be found busy doing the things that you have asked us to do. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus, and everybody said,
amen. Amen.